This is the end of Andrew Cuomo's political career. It needs to be the end of Andrew Cuomo's political career, given all of the news items that have come forward in recent weeks, beginning with the thousands of people that died unnecessarily because of his poor judgment, and then escalating to now numerous sexual harassment allegations from his former team members. Hello, everyone. I'm Trish Regan. This is the Trish Intel Show. We now have news that a second former aide to Andrew Cuomo is coming forward with claims of sexual harassment against the New York governor. Now, this is bad. Right now, the allegations are still just allegations, so we'll leave them at that. But now we have two women coming forward with these allegations. And I would only point out that if the tables were turned and this were a Republican governor, you know they would be all over him to resign, because you have to always believe the victim, right? But somehow that doesn't apply. I mean, you think about the Me Too champion in Kirsten Gillibrand. Where's she right now? She's not saying boo. And you know what? I am not a fan, you know that, of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I don't see eye to eye with any of her economic policy. I don't really respect her intellect when it comes to issues surrounding our economy. But I will tell you this, the woman's got guts, because she's coming out and she's calling for an investigation into Andrew Cuomo, given that now we're seeing two cases of women that say he sexually harassed them. I mean, don't forget, you know, what kind of launched this whole thing was the fact that he was willing to lie about the number of people that he sent into nursing homes in New York with COVID to recover from COVID, thereby infecting thousands of elderly people. And then, like, not only did he lie about it, but then said, well, I had to, right? This is his staff member. His staff member saying, we made this decision to lie about it effectively because, oh gosh, you know, the Trump Justice Department was going to come after us. As they should come after you. I mean, the guy was so darn busy trying to win his stupid Emmy Award from the television industry for all his press conferences. He was such an egomaniac that he never bothered to actually govern and to make sure that, you know, just normal things were done, like making sure that people were not sent with COVID into nursing homes when you knew in late March how dangerous this was for elderly people. And then we learn more about his, shall we say, lack of judgment, given all of these allegations that are now being leveled against him by two former staffers. I suspect we'll probably be hearing more. I mean, this is a guy who does not belong in such a senior position of leadership. And you're now seeing talk of impeachment for him. I think that the voters ought to vote him out next time around, because, you know, this is clearly not a guy that should be electable. This is not a guy that should be in this office. And this is a guy that the Democrat Party needs to come out against, right? What does it say about them? What does it say about Kirsten Gillibrand? What does it say about Hillary Clinton? What does it say about all these women that allegedly care so much about women's rights? And yet when it comes to this particular man, they're being silent on it. I don't get it. It's not. Well, I do get it. Sadly, I mean, this is the political environment in which we now live. And so if he were Republican, sure, they go for it. And by the way, the Republicans are no better, right? Like, it's a Democrat, they're going for it as well. I would just say that this particular gentleman is clearly a problem, given what we saw on the COVID front. And now you combine these allegations, which really suggest his personal life and his personal judgment is truly lacking. And if these allegations are true, he's just kind of a scumbag, right? Just a total, utter scumbag. So we don't need him as governor of New York. Coming up in Orlando, Florida, at the CPAC event, we see again sort of the reclaiming of the Republican Party by Donald Trump and his team. Regardless of what happens, I'll tell you with him, I'll tell you this, the Republican Party needs this injection of middle class spirit, of somebody that's looking out for everyday Americans, because there was a kind of elitism that crept into the party, and they had gotten away from their message of the importance of a healthy working class in America. Both parties, frankly, have gotten entirely away from that. But one of the things that we're seeing once again come into focus is the need for a strong middle class, which gives us a strong economy, which gives us a strong America. I'm on it next. The one thing Republicans should be really thankful for, and I realize a lot of them are pretty angry still, you know, you've got a very divided party with Donald Trump, but they should be thankful that he helped get them back to their roots. And by their roots, I mean a party of the working class. The Democrats had sort of captured that mantle in a way that made Republicans look like the bad guys, right? If you were a Republican, you were probably really wealthy. You were like a fat, lazy old white guy, right? That had plenty of money and just kind of lived off his investments. And that's not who the Republican Party is. I mean, I look at the values, right? Especially the economic values that have been put forward in the Republican Party. They're all about independence. They're all about helping people to help themselves. And they're all about allowing people opportunity to pursue the American dream and pursue the ability and the freedom to prosper. That's what we need to be about. And that is what we are getting back to. I think Donald Trump really articulated that in so many ways for the Republican Party. Granted, you know, he's made things difficult at times too, right? Like, that's just the reality of it, because he's such a polarizing figure and he's a figure that people identify with so personally. But the reality is he's done Republicans a tremendous favor because he's reminded them of what it is to be an American member of the middle class and the need for a strong middle class. Amazing, right? Considering he's really not a member of the middle class, but he's brought so many politicians back to that level. And I think that that's been missing for too long on both sides, right? It's not something that's exclusive to one group. But again, I think that the Democrats have done a really good job of saying, look, we are the party of everyday working Americans. And it's like, no, wait a second, guys. You're really not, right? Because you're a party that believes in handouts. So if you believe in handouts, if you believe in socialism, to me, that's not at all about creating a strong middle class. That's about creating a dependent class. And there's a big distinction and a big difference between what they're pursuing and what Republicans are pursuing. And so, you know, getting away from that sort of we're the you know, fancy schmancy wealthy class that's trying to take advantage of people with, you know, better deals for American companies, et cetera. That's a really important thing to do right now. I think that, you know, if you get into politics, it should be for the right reasons, right? And it should be to help people. And if you're a Republican, it should be about helping people to be the best version of themselves, which means making this country as successful and as independent as possible, which means not shipping all the jobs to China. That's not going to help Americans. And listen, I'm going to say this because the middle class is our entire foundation, right? That's why people look back with nostalgia at the 1950s and they think about the success that America was. And it was because you had this growth in the middle class, right? The two kids in the picket fence and the, you know, car in the driveway and the vacation twice a year. And you used to be able to pursue that kind of middle class existence by maybe graduating from high school, maybe even not, right? You could get a job at the local factory and take care of your family. And that has disappeared from today's economy. You can no longer drop out of high school, get a job at a factory and expect to enjoy a certain quality of life. And I'm just saying, like, not everybody needs to have a PhD. I mean, we shouldn't have this expectation that you've all got to go become a Google engineer, right, in order to make a living. We need to have jobs here in this country that help create this thriving environment. And so Donald Trump was successful in helping to highlight those values. And where the Republican Party goes from here, regardless of where it is and with whom, I would only stress, do not lose sight of that middle class. Do not lose sight of who we are and who we need to be. Okay, coming up, inflation. Anybody worried? I'm worried. I got a big inflation warning for you right after this. Have you been watching the yield on the 10-year? I'm going to wonk out on you for just a minute, because if you're not watching the yield on the 10-year Treasury government bond, you need to, all right? Because it's creeping higher and higher and higher. And that is an indication. That is an indication that we are starting to see inflationary pressures in our economy. Now, you need to care about inflation. You need to care about inflation, because if you're saving your money for retirement someday, you know, if you're saving for your kids' college education, whatever it is that you're saving for, be aware that in an inflationary environment, your dollars become worthless. Worthless, literally less, right? So that $5 cup of coffee at Starbucks right now could cost you $30 if you have inflation that's going really wild. And one of the reasons the market's concerned about inflation is because the Fed worries about things like inflation. I know they're telling us, oh, no big deal. Like, we don't really need to worry about it right now. We saw Jerome Powell there on Capitol Hill saying they're not that concerned. I mean, they've already told us, right? They're not even going to make it one of their primary concerns right now, because maybe we need a little inflation in their view. Well, we're going to get a little inflation. In fact, we may just get a lot of inflation. You look at all the economic indicators as of late, a lot of them are suggesting positive things ahead. And already you see in producer prices, the PPI index showing an increase. You see also more positive signs in the way of retail sales climbing, even household incomes up 10% in the month of January. In other words, people have more cash right now. And what are they doing? I guess they're all looking for the next GameStop, right? Or Bitcoin, because you're seeing an inflationary pressure in these markets. And now it makes sense that it's starting to transfer into the yield on Treasury. So again, 1.5% and change. I mean, that it sort of leveled out around there on Friday. Think about, though, just a few days ago, it was 1.3%. I mean, this is a big move, because I don't know, like a month or two ago, we were down around 1%. And so to see that kind of 0.2% increase just in a matter of days, that's actually a pretty big deal. And so I encourage you to keep watching that. And I would encourage you to just think long and hard about how you are positioning yourself right now and your retirement plans in light of the fact that we may very well be looking at an inflationary environment ahead. So consider that a warning. All right. Thanks, everyone. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast, that you go to trishintel.com, that you subscribe to my newsletter, and I will see you right back here again tomorrow.